Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because this could be, in fact, very well may be, the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, The Flatline, is always about motivation, inspiration, and indeed education, and it's done with no manipulation. That means there are no hidden agendas here. We have nothing to sell, nothing for you to join. You might notice there are no commercials on this radio show. The reason is we don't want to try to sell time. We just believe if God's in it, He will pay for it. And so far, God has indeed paid for it. This show has been on the airways now across the United States for more than 3 years. And I'm very grateful for the privilege and the opportunity that I've had to bring forth information related to the Word of God. My job is simply to verify and identify God's plan for your life. And your job, if you decide to accept it, is orient and adjust to that plan. But if you've ever gotten tired of religious double talk, things that people don't really understand, terminology like turn it over to the Lord, brother, let God have it, brother, well, what do these things mean and how do they effectively work? When someone tells you that you need to go forth and rededicate your life, that's wonderful and grand, but how do you do that? What does that mean? And so we're going to have a radio show, and we started having a radio show with mechanics. My job is to teach you mechanics. And as we teach mechanics, as we bring forth the principles and the procedures that are set forth in the Word of God, we have developed the concept that this is called the protocol plan of God. And if you're dealing with God, you must follow protocol. God does not tolerate hot dogs. And so a hot dog is a person that makes up the rules as he goes along. But if we're going to deal with God, we must follow protocol. In the Bible, God specifically says in the book of Jeremiah that He's looking for people that not only know Him, but people that understand Him as well. And if you're going to understand the God that you know, you must understand that a right thing has to be done in the right way. It's possible to do a right thing in the wrong way. And in that respect, God is not glorified at all. For example, is it right to go to church? Yes. Is there a right way to go to church and a wrong way to go to church? Yes. Is it right to pray? Yes. Is there a right way to pray and a wrong way to pray? Yes. So by not following protocol, it's possible that you could be doing a right thing, but doing it in the wrong way. And thus, it is not effective for you, nor does it glorify God. And that's why it's important that we understand the protocol procedure found in the Word of God. We've developed that under the concept of the 10 problem-solving devices. And the thought that we're trying to teach you on this radio show is if you will learn these 10 problem-solving devices and deploy them into your life, that you'll be able to stop the outside pressure of adversity from becoming the inside pressure of stress. We've developed these 10 problem-solving devices into a booklet that you can order free of charge. Simply write to us here at Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, and that's P.O. Box 100, Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. There is no charge for this book. If you'd like to have it, simply write to me or email me from the Internet from our website, which is www.bigrick.org. And we'll send you this book free of charge. It's called Christian Problem Solving. Also, along with this will be another book called Crash Course in Basic Christianity. This is basic, simple information that will help you to understand and apply these 10 problem-solving devices to your life. Remember that our Lord said happiness belongs to those people in Matthew 10:28-29. No, not Luke 11:27-28. That's the passage, Luke 11:27-28. He said happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. And so hearing and keeping the Word of God on a consistent basis is how we develop spiritual momentum in our life. And without spiritual momentum in our life, without hearing God's Word on a consistent basis and applying what we hear, what we learn, then we can never operate under the LAG principle, L-A-G, LAG. That stands for learn, apply, and then glorify. Learn, apply, and then glorify. And this is all that God expects out of you. That's why the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's why the Bible says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we glorify God, by what we think. We do not glorify God by what we do, because human solutions are no solution. It's only divine solutions that are the real solutions. And the Bible says, in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So the real you is the sum total of your mental attitude. And when God wants to check you out, he's going to look at what you're thinking. He's not going to look at what you're doing, because it's possible that you could be doing a right thing, but you could be doing it in a wrong way. And so God checks your mental attitude. And the mental attitude is the real you. And that's why the Bible clearly says, let this mind, in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And so if we're going to represent Jesus Christ to our generation, then we must learn to think as he thought. And that means that we must learn to think in terms of humility, because God makes war against the arrogant, but he gives grace to the humble. And arrogant people always operate on human solutions, not divine solutions. Arrogant people can be identified as those who justify why their way is right and everybody else's way is wrong. And politicians fit into this mold quite often. Arrogant people have a self-absorbed image. They don't see themselves as they really are. They see themselves as they think they are. And arrogance can blind us to reality. And so, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to operate with a humility profile. And that's why it's important that we understand the Word of God. We cannot operate under artificial intelligence. AI, artificial intelligence, that's the combination of arrogance and ignorance. And you put these two together, you have artificial intelligence. This is what Satan uses to blind most of the world. And so by establishing a flot line in your soul, F-L-O-T, that's the name of this radio show, Flot Line. And flot is indeed a military acronym for the forward line of troops. And by learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God, you develop this flot line in your soul. And you're able to, number one, stop the enemy from advancing into your mental attitude. Stop the enemy from conquering your mental attitude. Remember, the Bible says Satan goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And the Bible emphatically demands in Ephesians 6 that we put on the armor of God so that we can stand against the tactics and the strategy of the devil. And it lists what that armor is, along with picking up the shield of faith. And so there's no doubt that Satan has a tactical strategy towards you and me. And we have to learn to recognize it and see what it is and learn how to use the Word of God to defend ourselves in these times of testing. Now, the United States of America is in a political season, and we're going through a lot of things that you're seeing, I'm seeing on the television, hearing on the radio. People are choosing sides. People are lining up behind one candidate or the other candidate. And we started a show last week dealing with power politics versus pivot politics. I gave special thanks to my pastor. His name is R.B. Thiem, and my pastor taught me this years ago. He's no longer a pastor now. He's retired. He's 90 years old and living in retirement. But he taught me this concept of power politics versus pivot politics. And then one of my friends reminded me of this a couple of weeks ago. Randy reminded me of this, and so I thought this is an important topic to cover on this particular radio show. And so we started taking a look at the difference between pivot politics and power politics. One thing I want to make very clear to you, and I want you to understand, I'm not discouraging you from voting. A Christian should vote, and a Christian should assume the responsibility of making an aware decision about who is the best candidate to govern this country. I'm not here to tell you that. That's not my job. My job is simply to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to proclaim him And he said if he's lifted up, that he would draw all men to himself. And by the way, that's your job as well. And when we start promoting a political person over the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaiming that this person has the solution to our problems, then we're making a serious mistake. Because as we've talked about on the show, and we made it very clear on this show, the Bible warns us that it's better to put trust in the Lord in Psalm 118, verse 8, than to put confidence in any man. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man that trusts in man. And so by looking under the concept of power politics, we find politicians employing social action to make change in the nation and bring about what they call the betterment of mankind. And I made the principle or the point to you that no man can change anything. First of all, every one of us have an old sin nature, and most of our problems are individual problems. Now, since the politician cannot address the individual problem, he normally goes to the collective problem. And so he says, well, I know we have a lot of crime, and we have a lot of hate, and we have a lot of misfortune. So if I legislate this law, if I pass this mandate, then it'll collectively give everybody a better chance and the world will be better off. Well, that's not exactly true. The Bible, for example, said in Matthew 24:6, you will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not frightened, for those things must take place. But this is not the end. So if some politician says, elect me and I'll keep us out of war, well, that's ridiculous, because there will always be wars. And you may step out of one war today and step into another war tomorrow. These wars come from the old sin nature. And this is what the politician cannot control. And by the way, neither can Satan. And Satan loves for you to operate under the control of your old sin nature. But realistically, what many people don't understand about Satan is he doesn't want to go to the lake of fire to start with. That's not his goal, to go to the lake of fire. He wants to be vindicated. And many people get this wrong concept about what Satan's in. The number one thing that Satan promotes in our world today is organized religion. Organized religion. And when you see things where people have satanic shops and they worship Satan and they get into this sort of stuff, I'm telling you, that's all a mirage. That's not where he is. Where he is in the church. He's in organized religion. And even the war that we fight today, the war on terror, is a religious war. It is a religious war against Muslim terrorists. And they're not Baptist terrorists. They're not Methodist terrorists. They're Muslim terrorists. And, of course, it seems that no one really wants to say that, because we don't want to offend the Muslim. Are all Muslim terrorists? Well, maybe not. No. Not all Baptists don't murder people either. But the majority of terrorist attacks that we've had in our country have come from the Muslim religion, who takes great offense at the Christian faith in claiming that Jesus Christ is God. They disagree with that completely. So when we're talking about having change, no one can change the old sin nature. The old sin nature within man is the infected part of man. We got it from Adam. And Muslims have old sin natures, Baptists and Methodists and Presbyterians and Catholics and Lutherans and you name it, Mormons, they all have old sin natures. Everybody has an old sin nature. It's that genetically formed part of you that you got from Adam. Where the Bible says, for by one man sin came into the world and death by sin, and now death has passed on all, for all have sinned, and the wages of sin is death. So in spite of what some politician may promise will make man better, he cannot deal with the old sin nature of man. Only man can do that. You and I have to make the decision whether or not we're going to allow our old sin nature to control us, or whether we're going to look upon our sin nature as dead, and whether we're going to live in the newness of life with Christ. Therefore, God has provided the Holy Spirit for us. He has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us during this church age, so that we may be empowered by the Holy Spirit. This, by the way, is the same Holy Spirit that empowered our Lord Jesus Christ in his corporeal body when he was here in humanity. We are the corporate body. We're not the corporeal body. He was that. We're the corporate body. We're the church. And just as the Holy Spirit empowered the physical body of the Lord Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit can empower your physical body as well. You see, this was something new. No one ever understood this before. Only a few people had the Holy Spirit given to them in the Old Testament, and then they could, in fact, lose it. But you and I, we are indwelled by the Spirit of God, sealed by the Spirit of God, regenerated by the Spirit of God, and filled by the Spirit of God, and mandated to walk in the Spirit of God. Now, that's how you control the sin nature. And that is only something that you can decide. Some preacher may tell you, don't walk in the flesh, and the Bible may clearly point it out, but you have volition. And your volition will make the decision. Yes, I will obey God, or no, I won't obey God. By the way, it's the same volition that will choose who to vote for. God gave you the freedom to choose. And the freedom that you have to vote is compliments of many wonderful Americans who gave their life and purchased your freedom. We told you on the last radio show that all freedom is not free. Freedom costs somebody something. When the Lord Jesus Christ laid his life down on Calvary's cross for us as the redemptive solution for man's sin, he paid the ultimate price. He died in our place. And the Bible clearly says, he that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God through him. That was the ultimate solution. And when many a wonderful Americans answered the call of their country and went to foreign wars and fought, not only in past times but in current times, they pay the ultimate price so that you and I may remain free. And they leave their home, many of them 18 and 19, and full of life, and they come back in a coffin, and they are dead. They bought, they paid for your freedom with their blood. Don't ever forget that. Never, ever forget that. The Bible is clear and says in James 4:1, what's the source of quarrels? What's the source of conflicts among you? Is it not the source of the pleasures that wage within your members? It's your own sin nature. This is where all war comes from within. From within the old sin nature. And so no politician can control that old sin nature. And politicians will say, well, if you elect me, I'm going to bring peace. If you elect me, I'm going to create a perfect environment. If you elect me, I'm going to put everybody on the same foot socially so that we all have the same amount of money, the same amount of health care, the same amount of this, same amount of that, etc. Except the Bible says in Mark 14:7, the poor you'll always have with you. So even if you take a lot of money and give it to some people, they'll lose it and still be poor. That's not the solution. Shoveling money into people's pockets is not going to make crime go away. Shoveling money into projects is not going to make drug abuse and unwanted pregnancy go away and hatred and bitterness go away. The only thing that solves those kind of problems is regeneration. And when you and I lift up Jesus Christ, and when we proclaim him to the world by representing him in our life, then people can see the legitimate hope they have, which is not in a politician, not in a political system, but in Christ. Where the politician is especially valuable to us is he protects and preserves these freedoms so that we'll be able to do this. Under the laws of divine establishment that God has set forth within the Bible, marriage, family, also volition, and also nationalism. At least four things here that God ordains for the orderly function of the human race. That you and I, number one, should have the freedom to choose. Number two, that you and I should have the opportunity to marry. Number three, that you and I should have the opportunity to raise a family. And number four, that you and I should be free within a nation. National entity. We're Americans. And if we need politicians, we need them to protect these four divine institutions. And to make sure that no one takes away our freedom, no one takes away the right to destroy the institution of marriage, and that the family is protected and nationalism is honored. This is the kind of politician that we need. And if he will provide those things, then the believer within the nation can fulfill his objective of lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ so that he can draw men to himself. Christians have to be careful not to be distracted by politics. Power politics traps a lot of Christians and gets them into crusader arrogance. And when we're talking about pivot politics, the real difference here I want to define what the pivot is for you. There are actually two words I need to define. One is the word pivot, and the other is the word client nation. Let's start off with a client nation. A client nation is, for example, the United States of America. We are a client nation. We evangelize our people. We send out missionaries to the world. We protect the Word of God and proclaim the Word of God, and we have been a haven for the Jew. These are some of the things that client nations provide. And the client nation is sustained or made up of or protected by the pivot within the client nation. And the pivot within the client nation is the salt or the light of that nation. And that pivot is made up of an accumulation of mature believers. A mature believer. It's possible that a person can be saved but not mature. This is seen in the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer said you've been a Christian a long time now, but you don't understand the basics. You can read it for yourself, Hebrews 5, 11 through 16, where he says they're kind of like babies that still need a bottle, and they can't handle strong meat yet because they don't understand. They have not heard and applied the Word of God on a consistent basis. And all maturity is related to your spiritual momentum. So if we look at the fact, let us say, well, how much spiritual momentum do you have? Do you go to church for 30 minutes on Sunday morning and 30 minutes on Sunday night? That's actual instruction time by the pastor. 30 minutes on Sunday morning, 30 minutes on Sunday night, and then maybe 30 minutes on Wednesday night. That's an hour and a half a week. If you have an hour and a half a week of actual instruction time by the pastor, will that make you a mature believer? Well, I think the answer is no. You can never grow to spiritual maturity on an hour and a half a week. And most pastors will tell you, go home and read your Bible. Go home and look over my sermon notes. Go home and study on your own. Well, the only danger in that is that the Bible is not a novel. It's a textbook. And it's designed to be taught to you. In my opinion, we need men, pastors, that will study and teach the Bible. We need that a lot more than we need some pastor to be running up to the hospital and holding our hand every time we get sick and telling us, don't worry, brother, my sister died with it, but you'll make it. I mean, that's the last thing you need, some kind of encouragement like that. You need that pastor studying and teaching the Bible to you so that when you and I, when we wind up in the hospital, we have enough faith and enough hope and enough confidence in our God not to be afraid and to not be bitter, and to trust Him and trust the doctors with whatever God's perfect will is for our life. And we all like to have the pastor call on us. We all like to have the pastor hold our hand and pray with us. But pastors simply don't have enough time to do that every day. And it hurt. Where does it hurt? It hurts in their studying. Now, you can't be a mature believer if you're not going to learn the Word of God. And I think the Bible is very clear. I mean, come on, even if a person's in the first grade, he has to go more than 30 minutes a day if he's ever going to get out of the first grade. So if your entire intake of the Word of God amounts to about an hour and a half a week, the question is a legitimate question. Are you a mature believer? And the answer is not yet. No, because you're not taking in enough of the Word of God. You're anorexic. You're anemic here. You haven't grown spiritually, and you need to take in the Word of God. And only by sitting under a qualified pastor, and only by learning the Word of God and applying the Word of God can we ever grow up. That's why we have the mandates that are found in the Bible, such as study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the Word of truth. So the pivot is made up of that core group of mature believers who take in the Word of God, who apply the Word of God. They're the salt of the earth. They're the invisible heroes in the nation. They are the light that gives the guide to the nation. And they live under a civil government. They live in a geographical location. They obey the laws of the land. They're not the ones that are creating the problems. Matter of fact, all of our civil responsibility is found in Romans 13, verses 1 through 10. You can read that and see what a member of the pivot should be doing within a client nation. What is interesting is that a lot of Christians get all fired up about politics, and they get all fired up about this man or this woman, but they won't give 2 cents worth of notice to what God's Word says. They get distracted into thinking that this person is the solution to our problems nationally, collectively, and they are not. Again, cursed is a man that trusteth in man. So blessings in a nation don't come through visible activism. That's not how the blessing comes. The blessing from God within a nation, how God blesses a nation, is by means of the invisible believer who grows to maturity and executes the protocol plan of God. So that when your cup runneth over, when your cup spills over, you're a mature believer, you're learning the Word of God, and your cup begins to spill over, then surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. And you want to have a maximum amount of people within a nation whose cup is full and overflowing. And then we have blessing by association to that nation by means of the spiritually mature believers. And if you have a spiritually mature president, holy cow, then you can have a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But that probably would never happen in this country because there are too many people that couldn't handle the concept of a spiritually mature president. And if he got into national politics and talked about his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his faith in the Bible and the Word of God, he would be mainstreamed out of office. We've already marginalized God in our society. Just think what we would do to a president that took a stand about this very thing and talked about how he believed the Bible and how he believed that people need to learn the Bible and apply the Bible into their life. But that's what it takes. An invisible group of men and women that are mature believers that become the pivot or the anchor in that nation. If the pivot declines, then the nation suffers. And the nation can eventually be removed by means of what the Bible calls the five cycles of discipline. I haven't done a show with you on the five cycles of discipline, but this is how God effectively takes out a client nation, by discipline. Just as God can effectively take you or me out through discipline in our lives. If we get out of fellowship with Him and we don't rebound, problem-solving device number one, and we don't recover from our sin. So if the pivot declines, and that is that believers spin off and get into some things like politics and ignore their spiritual life and start to put their hope and trust and confidence in a man, well, then the pivot shrinks and eventually the nation is destroyed. So the people that are part of the pivot must have a virtue-first mindset. And that virtue means that we have a personal love for God. That's our motivational virtue. And 1 John 5:3 says, if you love God, you'll keep His mandates, and His mandates are not grievous. So the greatest virtue that you and I could ever possess is personal love for God. When we have that personal love for God, it motivates us to have impersonal love for others. Even if we don't like them, even if we don't like what they stand for, we don't get bitter, we don't react, we treat them in grace and humility and hospitality, and we have impersonal love for others. We love them based on not who they are, but who we are. And so people that are pivot people, members of the pivot, mature believers, they don't force their views on the public. They don't bully unbelievers. They don't get involved in crusader arrogance. And they don't get trapped into the cosmic vortex, the zeitgeist, the spirit of the times. They have enough understanding of the Word of God to know what is right and what is wrong in their life. And so pivot politics are invisible politics. Pivot politics is you becoming the invisible hero in your nation, under the authority of your pastor, growing in grace, becoming the mature believer, and your cup running over, and surely goodness and mercy flowing into your nation. And the power politics, well, that's the visible. That's the politician who promises one thing but cannot deliver. Which one do you want? Which one do you think can effectively deliver this nation from what we're about to face? What we're about to face is called a historical crisis, and we'll try to talk more about it in the future. But until then, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you very much for listening today to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.